Hello, welcome to the Nonprofit Shapers Podcast. My name is Vincent Mwangi, and today we are joined by an amazing lady called Lucy, but we call her Chep from the Good Kenyan Foundation. I think we'll let Chep introduce herself. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Good Kenyan Foundation, and yeah, maybe you can carry on from there. Just
thank you so much, Vincent. My name is Lucy Chepchumba from the Good Kenyan Foundation.
Okay, so Lucy, we are very excited to have you here. Lucy, we've known each other for quite a while. It's been several years, pre-COVID.
Yes.
And pre-COVID. And one of the things that, you know, I'm always very curious about, I've never asked you this actually, I don't think I have. You run the Good Kenyan Foundation. How did you think of the name Good Kenyan? Let's start from there even before you tell us what it's all about. Why good Kenyan? I know I'm a good Kenyan, but what does it mean for you?
I am a good Kenyan too.
Okay, I think when we were thinking about the name, it was because it was after we thought about what we want to do. So we wanted to give back and we wanted to work with young people. And we didn't really know. I came from corporate. My co-founder came from the sports world. And we didn't know what happens in the nonprofit sector. So what happens is that we were seeking help from different people. And everyone was really willing to help. So everyone was going above and beyond. Someone was like, I'll do for you this. I'll do this. This is how you should do. And then one day it just occurred to me, all these guys are giving of their time without, like very happily giving their time. So they're really good Kenyans. And I was like, this is a good Kenyan. This is what good Kenyan it is. And this is what we want to help shape in these young people to be good Kenyans and to do right. Every time. So that's how the name was founded.
As we segue into that, because I know that's what first attracted me, just the fact that it was a good Kenyan and I wanted to be associated with being a good Kenyan. Mm-hmm. But what does Good Kenyan do? What was the why? Why did you get it started? What problem were you trying to solve? And has that changed from when you started to now?
Okay. I guess when we began Good Kenyan, for me, it was a very personal decision. I had lost my mother earlier on in life many years ago when I was in high school. And I remember just when I cleared high school, it was the most uncertain time of my life. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was meant to decide what university to go, what course to take. And I was also becoming an adult and to make decisions around that. And yet I felt like I didn't have someone very close to support me. And I wondered what happens to everyone else. And I just made a note that I want to do something about someone else who's in my position. Then many years later, when I started working, I started mentoring, and I was mentoring with this organization and would go to several high schools and speak to these young people around their career choices, just around basically well-being. And then it occurred to me while talking to them that in fact, my problems were really little because mine was just about mentorship and some form of guidance. But then other young people were even facing bigger problems whereby they didn't even have school fees. They didn't have, they didn't know what they'll do after high school. Mm-hmm. When I started a business, I used to work with young people during the December holidays. We used to do a lot of gifts. And many of these young people would come and work and immediately you pay them, they'll just spend the money. And the next day they don't have the money, or they would give, just speaking to them, they would tell me stories like, I wanted to be a lawyer, but I got a C, now I cannot be a lawyer. And it's almost like that's the end of their dreams. Mm-hmm. For me, so all these stories built up towards forming Good Kenyan, because then I was like, okay, there's more need and there's more, people need more mentorship, but then it has to be sort of structured and has to be long-term. Mm-hmm. It can't be a one-touch mentorship. From that, we just started speaking to different experts, speaking to young people, just finding out what they really want. And from the information that we gathered, they both wanted skills. They wanted, of course, an income because they were expected to make an income immediately after high school, which is a very different trajectory to those maybe from middle class who will then go to university and are supported by their parents. And that's how we just formed the curriculum of Good Kenyan. Yeah.
Okay. So Lucy, that's really interesting because especially when we talk about youth in transition, it's something that is not really common, I'd say, because once you've completed your high school, I think society requires you to have thought what you want to be. And then there's also that other aspect of the grades that you get. And so I'm quite curious to hear how was the uptake, especially with the youth that you've worked with. Was there a shift, especially when it comes to mindset and people being able to reach for what their potential has for them?
So one, I think our system is really based on academics, and sometimes many programs are really worked on the A students and maybe the B plus students. But a lot of average students sometimes get lost into the mix and they end up doing maybe what their parents are doing. So they end up doing manual jobs because they cannot go to tertiary education. They don't have the money, yet they were not called to university where they sort of have government support in terms of sponsorship. So there's a lot of demand for that. We just take almost 10% of the people who apply into our program because of we can take everyone. And it's because a lot of young people are very talented and now they realize that they can actually monetize their talents. A lot of them do not know exactly what they really want. And so the one-on-one mentorship really supports them because it's a year mentorship where this person is supported to figure out what they like to do and get examples of people who are doing the things that they are doing, get more information, and even just someone to guide you as you research around it, as you you know what this person has done. We also do a sort of short apprenticeship where you go to that place of work and work and just get to know what you're doing. So sometimes young people come from school and have this idea of this career, but they don't really know inside what happens in that career, or they think that I'll just do this because now I didn't make it to do this. Yet there's maybe a longer route to achieve what you want to achieve, or there's a way you can still work on the immediate, which is maybe you need rent and food for that day, but still works towards your career. Because we have majority of young people in Kenya who go into jobs that maybe are not sustainable jobs, because they need food for today and they forget about their schooling because they don't see an option of doing both. Where you see maybe in developed countries, that's very different. There are jobs that are available for students during their part-time and everything. So we're really just trying to show you that you can still achieve your dreams. You can still go towards what you really wanted to do and then still take care of the now. And there are many other ways to go around it.
So how will the world have changed because of Good Kenyan? Like, what's the end game?
What's the end game of Good Kenyan? We just want to create a society where people are sustainable, they are positive, and they thrive to give back to others and to pay it forward, because we realize that you cannot do it alone, of course. So we are trying to grow that. We're trying to grow that you be a good Kenyan and do something where you can. Our organization is really blessed to have many good Kenyans at work hard. So the world will change because these young people will surely have sustainable futures and they can dare to dream and be positive members of the society.
Very, very, very important big goal. So what motivates you? Like, what makes you wake up and continue with this work? Because I know it's not easy. Mm-hmm. Getting people to be good Kenyans must be really hard, and even just staying upbeat and motivated, because you're always smiling. You're always, when you enter a room, it becomes bright. So what motivates you? What keeps you going?
Interesting. Very many things. But the one thing is just there's a light spark that happens to these young people. And I know that the light that I see in the eyes of this young person when they come in and by the time they're leaving in 3 months, just knowing that someone else's life is different because not because I can, but because I was not afraid to ask for help on their behalf. I was not afraid to call Chilanda and tell Chilanda I need this. I was not afraid to do this. Someone else's life has changed. And also we do have, like, I have a young lady right now who left our program maybe like 3 years ago. She's now paid school fees for 3 of her siblings and got a place for her mom. And this someone was, before she joined our program, was feeling hopeless, was feeling that there's no other way out, you know. So that's what motivates me, just seeing that, seeing the light, seeing the positivity. And then, of course, the trust that have been put by many people. We have a community of about 300 active members in Good Kenyan in terms of mentors and volunteers. Just that trust, it just motivates me to give more, because I just feel like many people just were looking for a place that they can give back, but then they didn't have the structure and they didn't have someone to show them you can still do whatever you're doing and pursue your life as between what you're doing, but still have maybe 2 hours once a month to give back. Yeah.
And You've talked about community, and that's something really important for us here as a podcast. Mm-hmm. So what does community mean to you?
Wow. Community too is everything. For us, community is the people who come together to achieve the goals that we want. And the community means that bringing what you can to support. So community means that the people in the community will bring their money, but they don't have the time. There's someone who will bring their time. There's someone who bring their advice. There's someone who will advocate for us, champion for us. So to me, just community is coming together for a certain cause with what you can and what you have when you can as well. And sometimes life is overwhelming, and sometimes people feel like, I can't commit because I can't be present every day. But there's a way you can be present when you can and be part of that community. So community is everything to me.
And I've met some of your community members, and community, I mean some of your board members. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to hear from you, how would you define, how have they been an anchor to, especially doing this work? Because there are so many challenges, I'm pretty sure, from, you know, from different aspects. So
yes.
How have they been an anchor to you?
Just using their name, being present and ready to hear. Community is even the girlfriend you can call and just vent and say, this work is very tiring and I want to give up. And they remind you how far you've come. So I feel like in terms of the inner community of Good Kenyan, which is the board members, the volunteers and the mentors, just being able to be present when I'm not present, being able to speak of me when in the rooms that I'm not there, being able to say, I can do this, let me take this from your plate, because as a local founder, sometimes you're just overwhelmed with the work that you have to do. So just them taking up some task is really anchoring and supporting, yeah.
You've mentioned this different people in your community, and I just wanted to see if we can get a little bit of detail.
Yeah, so I'll start with mentors, which is like, I feel like mentorship is such a pillar with the work we do at Good Kenyan, because we work with them as a cohort, and our cohort normally has 25 to 30 young people, and it's very hard to individualize them. But then each one of them has their own mentor that they meet on their own personal time. So mentorship really informs what we do at Good Kenyan, and we're very structured about our mentorship and very serious about it. So to be a mentor, you just need to be a Kenyan professional, or right now you have to be working in Kenya. So you have to be a professional working in Kenya, Kenyan or non-Kenyan. You have to be at least over the age of 28, and because it means you have some work experience with you. And also you have to be willing to spend time with these young people, to be vulnerable. Our mentorship is not motivation talks or talking down. We are not looking for another parent. We are not looking for a therapist or a sponsor. Mm-hmm. When you're a mentor, you need to be vulnerable to share your story and walk the journey with these young people. And to be a mentor, when you go to our website, www.goodkenyan.org, there's a port where you can be a mentor and join to be a mentor. Also leave our contacts with you, so that you can apply to be a mentor. We normally do mentorship info sessions, whereby we just give all the information that you need so that you know what you're signing yourself into. The other way you can join is to be a volunteer. And to be a volunteer means that you bring your expertise. Either you take some tasks at Good Kenyan where we are able to give to volunteers, or you in a form of advisory where you bring in, let's say you're a lawyer and you tell us, in case you need any legal contracts to be done, I'm available to support you on that. So that's how volunteership works. As well, again, you can apply through our website. And of course, in terms of apprenticeship, what we do is that currently we work with many people in the event industry. And that's because majority of my friends are in the events industry. Mm-hmm. So they've really sort of shared with us what aspects they look for, and we try to incorporate that in our curriculum. And also they have many short-term jobs that they can still do on the weekends when they work. But then if you have a job open, if you have an opportunity, either a job or just an apprenticeship open for short-term and open for sort of entry-level, please reach out to us. We will work with you to make sure that you get the right candidate. And we support, so the young person comes to you, but they also have a mentor that they report to. Mm-hmm. So you sort of get someone who is supported towards what they're doing. We say it takes a village, and for real, it does take a village at Good Kenyan, because without these volunteers and these mentors as part of our community, we're not able to achieve what we need to achieve. Some of these things can be paid for. Some of these things has to be someone giving their time and expertise. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And just how far are you? You know, I've just realized we've not even asked where do these young people come from? Mm-hmm. What's your reach right now? You've been around for
seven years. Yes.
7 year itch. I hope it's not itching.
No.
You're still there. How far are you now in terms of the coverage? Where are you getting your young people mm-hmm. from?
So we currently have two centers. We've operated for 7 years. We've worked with 340 young people. We have the current cohort is the 15th one, which has 25 girls. So we have two centers, one in Nairobi. We are in Ngumo, so we cater for the young people who are coming from Kibera. And then we have a new center that caters for rural girls based in Eldoret, in a village called Kolonget, and that's specifically for just girls alone, and we take 25 girls a season. So we really are small when you look at it in everything, but then it's because we really go deep into our curriculum and in our offering that to ensure that this young person is truly makes a decision. I am not after chasing quantities and numbers, and sometimes that's not attractive to some people, but I think the most important thing is why we are here and what we are doing. So we hope in future to have another additional center in Kwale, to also focus again in girls, and this is just because from the statistics and the data we have around that area, and eventually we look into sort of helping other people set up their own Good Kenyan centers in the places that they are.
So you've got the young people are largely from the immediate catchment area Kibera,
yes,
and then out there in Eldoret.
Mm-hmm.
There's many different ways to define young people mm-hmm. in Africa, yes. especially in Kenya.
Yes.
So youth in Kenya is up to 35.
Yes.
So what's your age? What's the age group for you guys?
So we have the anchor program that we have is called Mwanzo, and Mwanzo caters for those who are transitioning from high school to the next stage, which is workplace or tertiary education or employment, and those are 18 to 24. So that's the current people we are working with. We do have another program that caters for those transitioning from primary school, which is 13 to 17. So if you ask me, I'll say we work with young people from 13 to 24.
So just thinking, it's been 7 years, you've grown, you've now gotten out of Nairobi, you're mm-hmm. getting out there. In 7 years, that's not a short yeah. time. And you've also sound like you've been growing very organically, mm-hmm. you know, just starting from you, your friends. Mm-hmm. I know I got into your catchment area mm-hmm. as a friend.
Yes.
And then I have never left since mm-hmm. the one event you invited me to.
Yes.
But I'm just curious because mm-hmm. this podcast is about nonprofit shapers.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say, mm-hmm. either through story mm-hmm. or any tips that you might have,
mm-hmm.
Has been some of the highlights, let me start with highlights,
mm-hmm.
of growing mm-hmm. the Good Kenyan Foundation mm-hmm. up until now, so
mm-hmm.
far?
Mm-hmm. So far.
Yes.
Ah, wow. Many highlights of growing the Good Kenyan Foundation. First of all, I always wonder whether I'm really a non-profit because I feel like it's a very new sector to me
yeah.
that I've come into. Sometimes I feel like there's a lingo and there's a community, mm-hmm. there's another community that I've really not broken into.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about the work that we do. So what are the major obstacles for me growing is just the partners that we've found our way,
mm-hmm.
the institutional partnerships that I started very blindly and did not know how that will go.
Yeah.
So just having the trust of bigger names, mm-hmm. The Ford Foundation, the Sigel Foundation, is that really a highlight, because then at least it sort of validates what you're doing. But then my major highlight, I think this year, is a fellowship that I'm doing currently.
Mm-hmm.
I feel home now
mm-hmm.
with this fellowship because it's truly supported me in terms of and us as Good Kenyan in terms of what we want the future to look at, in terms of our strategy, in terms of how many things work, and most importantly, in terms of fundraising. I come from the corporate sector, so majority of my funds has come from corporate and individuals, Good Kenyans. So just now learning fundraising from a very different perspective and feeling just now like I have a community with the CLI initiative is the best thing that has happened this year to me.
What is CLI?
Oh, CLI is Continued Learning Initiative by the ISRO Family Foundation. Okay. So they pick 19 leaders. I mean, they pick leaders. Let me say 19. I think the last one was 15. Mm-hmm. And they work with you for a year.
Wow.
And it's a very structured program. It supports you in all aspects of your nonprofit. So it truly shapes your nonprofit because a lot of the things I've been doing were from here and here. Now I feel like it's more, when I say I'm feeling home, I feel like it's more organized and I feel like there's a lot more effort. So I really, really feel like that has been my highlight, honestly. There's so much that I've learned, this community that I've, a new community that I've gained. I've also gained other leaders that I work with. Now I work with them across and just that they're very, what I've learned about this sector in terms of fundraising is very interesting. And I don't know whether your podcast is that podcast.
Yes.
We can talk about that. Because I feel like it's very hard to break into into institutional funders.
Yeah.
It's almost like there are certain institutional funders that get this. And especially as a local founder, you don't really, you haven't worked in the sector. I never worked in the nonprofit sector. So I having an initiative like this CLI whereby the truly introduce you to funders and they truly hold your hand and advocate and introduce you to funders has been so phenomenal. And I feel like it's really, is going to really shape the future of Good Kenyan.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just drop that there and go away. This is us. Between the three of us, you know we're going to go there. This is that kind of a podcast.
Please do.
Because that's what we were inching slowly into. Because the journey of you, you came from the corporate sector. Started off with your, you know, just friends, family. It's grown. You got some institutional funding. You're now here where you're ready to scale. You're ready to grow. And you do need a little bit more investment. As individuals, I would imagine we were just throwing in a few coins here and there. And that was where I was actually going to go and ask you, because I know there's many challenges you've had along the way in growing the Good Kenyan, and you've had starts and stops. So maybe even before we delve into that area that you know I want to get into, maybe what are some of those highlights? Because this is also about those who are listening, who are hoping to join this. What do they need to look out for? What has that, honestly, what is that? What are some of those things, biggest pain points for you so far?
Stop writing grant proposals.
Oh my God.
Stop writing, because I think for a very long time I just used to see a grant advertised and I fit in all the asks that they have and I write these beautiful proposals and I don't hear from them. And then now learning that you write after you've already spoken and it's whatever, it's such an highlight for me, because I'm like, dang, I didn't know. Like, I am a marketer. I know how to sell. I know, like, in a, why I gain maybe support from the corporate sector is I show the numbers and you see it works for you. Your ROI makes sense, you invest.
ROI means?
Return on investment.
You also have your lingos.
Sorry, return on investment. Yeah. But then in the nonprofit sector, I realized that it's heavy on relationship. And I guess because it's trust and you're giving money and trust, and it's money, it's not like the other part where I'm giving a corporate, but they get something in return. So I guess the nonprofit sector, they still get something in this, but of course funders still get something in return. But then I realize it's heavy on relationships and almost like informal relationships, whereby you need to make the relationship off the boardroom. And then by the time you come to the boardroom, you already have those relationships. Then you write the proposals. So if you ask me, I'll tell someone starting off, don't write grant proposals. Work on the relationships. Work on those relationships, because they will then get you better. And then just ask the right questions and the right advice from the right people. I think the one thing maybe I didn't do was go to people who I know, this is a funder, but they're human at the end of the day. Let me ask them the questions beyond the funding.
We used to call it scattergun. Back in the day when I was doing active fundraising, like scattergun approach to look for money. You just send them everywhere.
Yeah.
Vincent, you have something?
Yeah. And No, that was really interesting. But one thing, and this is one thing that our podcast focuses on, is ensuring that we are creating a platform where funders or any other stakeholders in the sector can hear from individuals or leaders like you who are doing the work and finding ways of working with you. So I'm going to go a little bit into statistics and connecting it to Good Kenyan. You know the concept of the youth bulge, you've talked about it, where a demographic scenario where there are so many young people and children in a country.
Yeah.
And Africa, that's where Africa is. And as you know, the World Economic Forum says Africa's youth holds the key potential to its development potential. But then also one of the challenges that we see, according to the World Bank, is the learning crisis, especially if the youth population keeps on increasing. Right. Because one thing that Africa needs to do is create a demographic dividend from the youth population. But then this learning crisis is due to the quality of education and health of its population, leading to productivity, job creation. And that's something the Good Kenyan is, Foundation is doing. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit, where do you see Good Kenyan Foundation in the next 5 years or even 10 years?
Where do I sit in the next 5 or 10 years?
Especially, let me add, because you've also talked of going to other parts of Kenya like Kwale. So bringing in all those aspects I've talked about, where do you see yourself, especially with how can Kenya gain from the youth dividend? How can people know Good Kenyan, especially in the next 5 years, for the great work that you're doing?
I think that's something we've thought about when Chilande spoke about the 7 year each. For me, it was like the 7 year, what is next? And I feel like we really want to advocate for others and to for the young people to be considered beyond just academic, because there's ways of learning. We used to have this joke about this first class student who end up just becoming a lecturer. Nothing against lecturers, but maybe that's not what they want. But because they're told read. So Good Kenyan is looking at advocating for that, advocating for talents and skills to be incorporated more into the higher learning. I think now they've started with CBC, but it's not really in the higher learning. A lot of soft skills to be part of learning that's doing that. It's really done on the side, like sort of additional in uni. It's not really the main thing. I think also I see Good Kenyan being in the forefront of, what do you call it? I don't want to use the word pushing, and I'm liking the right word to use, but inspiring. inspiring organizations and people to look at employing young people differently, not just from the form of experience and that, because there's much more they can offer and letting them thrive. Of course, also advocating for the creative industry that's really big right now and it's growing, and to learn that there are many other ways that money can be earned. I mean, our president has told us you press the computer and money comes out, but then what are the life skills around that to ensure that this person thrives? So I think for us, that's what we are. We do offer life skills classes, which are the core skills classes at Good Kenyan. We'd also like just to share those curriculums with other organizations that are offering, so that more people are employable and more people are able to be diverse and not one way. So I don't know if I've answered.
Define soft skills.
Soft skills are things like about maybe even as simple as negotiation skills, something simple as, I don't know if you've ever, because I deal with them every day. A young person from Braesides and a young person from, let me use just this, Kilimambogo Primary, high school, are so different. Just the other person is older and has finished school, may not be able to articulate themselves. And it's not their wish. It's the kind of education system they've gone through. It's the experience and the exposure that they've found. So we really work. One of the critical things that we do at Good Kenyan when they come from those 3 months is really to work on their confidence, their identity, and really support them beyond just the work, the classroom work. You know, we do have classes that are entrepreneurship classes, ICT classes that are really technical classes that you learn and get a certificate. But then the life skills or those things that support this young person to be better, we will normally say we support them holistically, because we realize that this person may not reach their potential or even get that job if they come to you. Yes, they have that certificate, but they can't even express themselves. They don't even know who they are and are able to run something or run a project and that kind of a thing. And you find that that's why there's imbalance in our system, because this happens in these other schools, but then it doesn't happen in our local high schools. You find some people in the local high schools, which are, let's say, public and they are national schools, even have now a better advantage, because now organizations are going to that school, they are nearer to these places, or they have even family members who've done that. See, Bito could have a sister and the sister's friend, Bito is able to help them. But there are those who don't have those access. So we really want to really push for that, and just push that this young person is given tools and skills and opportunity even just to show their talents.
So getting personal. Who are you outside of Good Kenyan?
Who am I outside of Good Kenyan? Wow. Do I even know myself anymore? Out of Good Kenyan, I'm a big sister.
Are you the firstborn?
Yes. Oh. I'm the firstborn, having lost my mother at 16. So I am automatically mother hen in my friendships and everyone.
So, Deputy parent.
So I'm a firstborn. I am a sister. I'm an auntie. I'm a friend. Those are the things that I like to do out of there. I honestly do love people. So I love to travel, meet different people, learn people. I make friends so easily, and maybe it has really helped with the work that I do. Mm-hmm. I have very many friends. My friends always joke about how many new friends I get every time. Mm-hmm. So I just love people, and I love to enjoy things, and I love to travel. So that's who I am out of Good Kenyan.
I heard you talking about running in Nairobi.
Mm-hmm. I may be called Chepchumba, but I can't run. But I walk. I actually do enjoy. I walk every morning, most of the time, four to five times a week. Mm-hmm. In the morning. And this is also just, I learned that I needed to sort of have a way of releasing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So I normally do walk around in the morning, and once in a while on Saturdays I join some long walks. But of course I cannot run. Sometimes I try to swim, but let's say it's been a struggle. But walking, I do walk. Uh-huh. I do walk. Other things that I do that I love out of work. I'm a member of a book club, but this year I've let them down. But I'm a member of a book club that I do, and I really enjoyed. Last year we did only African authors, and it was so refreshing to do that. What else do I do? Of course, I'm a Christian, so I do have a community that I meet every Tuesday for the last 14 years. Wow, so every Tuesday we meet and we just hang out together physically. So of course, sometimes you can't meet if you're traveling, but it's one of the most important friendships that I have is in that group of people. Yeah.
Great. Mm. What about travel do you love?
What about travel?
Which part of the traveling experience, and what about it?
Okay. First, food.
Wow.
I honestly, when I go somewhere, I want to try the local food. I want to try something different. Or even if it's the same food, how they make it different. I remember my last trip, people were laughing at me because I was trying to look for something, and they're like, why? So I like food, people, and just learning about that place. I'm those tourists who just take those buses and go and learn the history and learn the things. I never look at shopping malls. I don't. That's not my travel.
I've had history and I love it.
Yeah.
So he's a history nerd.
Yeah. Okay. I'd rather go to the museum than go to a shopping mall.
Thank God. Yes, exactly.
How are we friends?
I know. And it's very different. My siblings are very different from me. So I actually don't travel with my siblings a lot. We do the holiday, we go to one destination and we stay there. But in terms of, like, my siblings live in Europe. When I go to Europe, I hang out by myself. I hang out by myself because they want to go to hit the shopping malls. And I really, for me, that's not travel. Mm. I actually go, and I sometimes, like the other day I went to this country and I was like, I want to go to the township and I want to see how it works and what happens there.
Did you go?
Yes, of course I did.
Were you scared?
No.
You went alone?
I was, of course, I put in many precautions. I didn't go alone. I went to the locals.
Okay.
You always have to go with the locals. And thankfully, I look like one of them. So there's no difference. And honestly, there was nothing wrong. So I just feel that you go to, people go to travel somewhere and then they come back and you ask them what they've seen is hotel room and shopping malls. I don't know where you've traveled.
I want to be like you. But I don't have
and
the courage.
It's so interesting because if I were Gen Z, I'd have asked you, what's your star sign?
Go ahead. Why don't you go ahead?
What's your star sign?
I'm a Sagittarius. Adventure. I'm a Sagittarius.
Your adventure.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Sagittarius.
Take us on a journey of nostalgia with you. Mm-hmm. What is that one childhood memory that you have that you feel shaped who you are today? How you think, the work you're doing, all of this. Is there a childhood memory that you can think of?
I think for me, I don't know whether it's what shaped me. I have many childhood memories, but what shaped what I do and think today is a childhood story.
Okay.
And it's the story of my grandmother. So my grandmother was married off without her choice, of course. It was that time when they were just taken, went through FGM. Mm-hmm. She told us that she was so young that she couldn't go to her husband's house and had to stay with the mother-in-law to be fed a bit, like for a year. And she went on to get 10 children, like almost a year and a half after each other. And when my mom was the last born, she went to the school where my mom used to go and said she'd like to help. And they asked her whether she's going to school and she said no. And they started educating her. And she did the adult education, which was called Gumbaru then. And after that, she was now moving to the next level, which is to go to high school. And she thought it was so nice to tell my grandfather that. And of course, my grandfather did not take it lightly. And she was given a thorough beating for it. But she did not stop. So she realized, I can still go to school and hide.
Okay.
So she started going to high school hiding. So that resilience is something that really stuck on me. And she finished and went over to teachers college. And she ended up being this very powerful woman. She became a politician. And my grandfather was now known as her husband and of course could not do anything to her. And one of the things she told me is how strategic she was. So resilient strategy. When she was going to college, she knew that it's not possible with the children. So she orchestrated a second wife. And she made sure that my grandfather was able to get a second wife. And that's how she was able to be released to go to college. And for me, when I think about that, I think how strong, resilient, and strategic was this woman to be. And I feel like I can't let down that generation. So sometimes when I feel like giving it up, I just remember the resilience. And I think, what can I think strategically to ensure that I keep going? And that's some of the things we've done is nowadays we train for organizations for their staff to be good mentors. So it's a pivot that we've done and it's a revenue earner. And I remember that story really made me think, okay, when things were really bad last year, I was like, how else do we ensure we keep going?
That's so powerful. But I know we are coming into conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
A call to action.
A call to action. Wherever you are, go beyond the obvious. If you are a funder and you have 10 grants, try and look for... I give up 10% to maybe one that you don't know. Take a risk or get to know a younger organization. If you are a leader, look for that person in your team that maybe needs a little bit more of help and give an extra of your free time to them. So just be a good Kenyan.
If people want to be good Kenyans and they want to talk to you before they become good Kenyans, how do they reach you?
How they reach us is we are live on all social media pages at Good Kenyan with double N. There was someone who had a page already with Good Kenyan. So if you go to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, you'll find Good Kenyan at Good Kenyan. Online, we are at www.goodkenyan.org. Kenya Mzuri. So just think about a good Kenyan, and when you press it online, it will take you to some page that we have. We're very vibrant on social media, so you can always DM us and ask any question that you have, or maybe we can send you any way you can plug in. There's always a way you can support, and most people start by just attending our events. We do have very good events. So people start by attending our events and then they get hooked to know what we are doing. So please, we invite you from whatever place you are currently. Your biggest challenge is mentors in Eldoret. So if you're listening from Eldoret, please, please sign up to mentor.
Can they call you?
Yes, of course, they can call us on 0708-020-530. 0708-020-530. If you're out of Kenya, you add +254 at the beginning.
Thank you. So now, you're going to do a quick fire.
Wow.
Which means you have to answer very fast. First thought that comes
without
to mind.
Thinking, wow. Hey, are you sure?
Thinking fast. What's your favorite month?
November.
Because you were born in November.
Yes.
What's your favorite animal?
Elephant.
Wow. Why?
It's very nurturing.
Okay. What's your favorite color?
Red.
Okay, me too. What's your favorite food?
Seafood.
What's your favorite word?
Good Kenyan. Good. One word, good.
Cat or dog?
I know.
Cow.
The judgment.
Cow. Cow.
Makaleo. It's a cow. Aya. Beach or safari?
Beach.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Thank you so much thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being here and for doing all the work you do at Good Kenyan. And of course, we are supporters and we hope that you get more supporters and continue to just rise and rise and rise and rise and achieve everything you've dreamed of.
Thank you.
Or even more.
Thank you so much for saying that. Thank you for this platform and giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about what we do at Good Kenyan and invitation. Thank you for being our champions. I really appreciate each and every one of you has sort of touched base at Good Kenyan. So you're all good Kenyans.
Yes.
Finally. Our Kenya wazuri.
We've passed the mark.
Yeah. Thank you.
Maybe just one more question. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you wish to add onto what you've said?
Anything that I wish to add to what I said? Okay. I don't know even what I've said anymore.
So
maybe to add to what I've said is that are you mentoring anyone? You don't have to be through Good Kenyan. Please just mentor one person. This will make this world a better place.
Okay. Giving back. Sawa sawa. Thank you very much for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. Join us again next time. And if you want to know when we drop the next episode, please subscribe on all podcast platforms and also follow us on social media. Our social media handle is Nonprofit Shapers on Instagram and other social media platforms.